Now, I want to bring out my teacher's hat and say we are now almost finished with the fruits of the Spirit, and it's time that we memorized the fruits of the Spirit. But it's very easy. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. I'm telling you, if you think of syllables, now we know there's 9 fruits of the Spirit, and they divide themselves very nicely into 3 groups of 3. The first group each have 1 syllable. The second group each have 2 syllables. And the third group each have 3 syllables. So it's very easy. 1, 2, 3. Now the first group you probably already know. Love, joy, peace. That's the first 3 fruits of the Spirit. Everybody say it. Love, joy, peace. Perfect. Now, the last one. Here's the trick. This is a trick that's going to help you. The last one, peace, starts with the letter P. Well, the first one of the 2 syllables also starts with a P. So we have patience, kindness, and goodness. So now we have, everybody say, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Patience, kindness, goodness. 2 syllables. Now, the last one of the 2 syllables, goodness, starts with a G. So now we think of a 3-syllable word that starts with a G. And we have gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And that's the fruits of the Spirit. Isn't that easy? Very good. Gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Now let's say them all. When my fingers go up, we are going to say them. Okay? Ready. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Now, I know a couple of you purists are going to come to me and say, but no, Ann, the last 3, they're not gentleness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. In the Bible, it says faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But you know what? I think the Holy Spirit doesn't really care exactly the order that we say them in. Or especially, if he really does care, then this group, we are in big trouble. Let me tell you why. Way back last fall, when Karen taught us the first fruit of the Spirit, she taught us self-control. That's the last one. Oh, my goodness. And next month, when we have our last breakfast, Margot is going to teach on love. That was the first one. So the first shall be last, the last shall be first, and so they're all mixed up. So I don't think the order matters that much if this little trick helps you to remember. Now I've talked long enough. Now let's see if you remember. We're going to try once more. Ready? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Very good. Very good. You know, they say if you say you're trying to memorize something, especially as we get older, it's harder. Let me just tell you. If you say it 3 times a day, 3 days in a row, you've got it. The 3 times a day could be spread out. Could be meals. That's an easy way to remember, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Or you could do it first thing in the morning, sometime during the day, and last thing at night before you go to bed. 3 days in a row. But if you mess up, or you have to look something up, or you forgot, you got to start all over again with your 3 days. That's if you really want to memorize something. But I think it's important we learn these 3 fruits of the Spirit. And in the spirit of the last 3 being gentleness first, then faithfulness, then self-control. That's how I'm going to teach them this morning. So turn to the side that says gentleness. I put the definition, gentleness is an active trait where we seek to deal sensitively and mildly with others, especially concerning their feelings and reactions to our actions. This is an active verb. Gentleness is often, and I put these in parentheses because we're not teaching on meekness this morning, but so many people tend to confuse meekness and gentleness, and they think it's the same thing, and they're actually almost opposites. Because whereas gentleness is an active trait, meekness is a passive trait, and that describes our response to others. And the proper Christian response, I'll just tell you this, we're not teaching on meekness, but this you get for extra this morning. The real pinnacle, I'll say, of meekness is accepting God's dealings with you as good and offering no resistance or disputing or complaining. We can accept God's dealings with us as good because He is good and He does good. Therefore, we will not offer any resistance or disputing. That's the quality of meekness. But gentleness is active and meekness is passive or reactive. When we're active, we are initiating this, and we should be gentle with people. How they react to us could be meek, or it could not be, but meekness is a reaction, not an action. Now, sometimes it's easier to learn about a trait or quality by looking at what the opposites are. The opposite of gentleness would be domination, intimidation, or threatening. If you know anyone like that, you know very well they're not a meek person. Or if you see any of those traits developing in yourself, or anyone tells you that, you know that's something that you need to work on, to be gentle. So just put that in there. I think that helps. Now I want to look at three things. Number one, God the Father, is gentle. And Isaiah 40:11 tells us, like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. When I think of gentle, being gentle with somebody, and God is here very gentle with the lambs, think of like exquisite fine crystal goblets that you have, stemware, and maybe you're packing them, you're going to move. You're going to be very careful and put bubble wrap around them, maybe how you pack them, how you handle that package, that box. You're very gentle with it. You are careful how you treat it. This is how God was. Careful how he treated his lambs, his flock. We're his flock. He's careful with how he treats us. No matter how we perceive it, he is careful. Second, Jesus himself was gentle. 2 Corinthians 10:1 says, "Now I, Paul, myself, urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." There you have them both. He was actively gentle and passively meek when others treated or mistreated him. And I thought that was very interesting that that verse had them both. And it got me to thinking, and I looked up that the Greek word sometimes is translated meek and sometimes gentle. And you know, back in the Beatitudes, where it says, I think it's Matthew 5:5, the meek will inherit the earth. Well, I tell you what, I'm old. You probably know that just by looking at me. So when I was a child, The only thing we had was the King James Version. I was a friend of King James, you know himself, he was there. But all the memory verses from my childhood are in King James. That's all it was. And King James says, the meek shall inherit the earth. Fine. Well, I grew up and I got saved and I was introduced to Precept Bible Studies. Wow, I got the NASB version. New American Standard. It opened the whole world for me. It's what I still use. Don't tell Gabe. Don't tell Gabe. But when you've had it as long as me and that's all marked up, it's too much to give up. But anyway, the NASB version says the gentle shall inherit the earth. I thought that's interesting, right? Same Greek word, different translation. But then, and you know, Tom Leak was a NASB man, so he preached NASB. Now we got Gabe, he's an ESV man, and we have officially switched to the ESV. I do put it on my phone so I can look at the ESV. Guess what? ESV, Matthew 5:5. The meek shall inherit the earth. It's full circle. We're back to the meek. It started with the meek, and then we went to the gentle, and now we're back to the meek. I just thought that's interesting. Threw that in there for your thought. Right? Okay, if God is gentle and Jesus is gentle, then surely we should be gentle. Something we should be striving to be. We want to be more Christ-like, we say. Or we want to be more godly. You know, godly means God-like. Godly, L-Y, like, God-like. There's a verse in Philippians that even tells us that. Philippians 4:5. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Not just to your brothers and sisters here at Hope Bible on Sunday, to all men, your neighbors, people you work with Monday through Friday. Do they see your gentle spirit? Something to think about. Now, we're not going to have table discussion this morning because these two traits that we are discussing this morning, I think, are more personal, something that we each know sort of where we are on the continuum of how gentle we are in this case. So I would like to do something a little different instead, and I would like you all to close your eyes, and you're going to be thinking about these questions. I'm going to ask them of you while your eyes are closed, because even if you just think about it, that's fine. But maybe your thoughts will drift into prayer, and you will talk to God about them in your own life. So I would like you to think of, do I actively seek to make others feel at ease? When I'm in the presence of others, am I actively trying to make them feel at ease, not necessarily myself? Am I not thinking of myself? Am I thinking of others and how they will react to the way I'm acting towards them? Do I demonstrate a respect for the dignity of others? In other words, am I thinking more of the others that I'm interacting with than I think of myself? Am I sensitive to others' opinions, especially those people with whom I disagree? We may have a disagreement on strongly held opinions, but am I still sensitive to their opinion? And finally, when I'm with others, do I show consideration to all people, to the non-Christians as well as my brothers and sisters in Christ? Lord Jesus, help us to be more gentle. And we are gentle spirit, be known to all men. Amen. Okay, now turn your paper over, and we're going to talk about faithfulness. Who remembers the three syllables, by the way? Gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Good, very good. Okay, faithfulness is being firm in our adherence to promises that we've made, or in observance of a duty, something that we've agreed to do. A duty is what you do. So we have to be firm in our adherence to that, that we are going to really keep that promise or do what we said we were going to do. I think about people that have kids. You know, I don't have kids, but I taught kids both in public school and here at Hope Academy. And I know, especially your mothers, when they're little and they can get on something like a dog with a bone and won't let go and keep asking you for something, or can we go to this place, can we go, can we? And finally say, yes, you know, like, leave me alone, yeah. But then you never go. You never do what you told them you would do. That is not demonstrating faithfulness to your kids. Be very careful with what you promise them you will do, or where you will go take them. Just don't say it unless you really mean it. Okay, the opposites of faithfulness is obviously unfaithfulness. When we use that term, someone's unfaithful, we think of marriage often. You know, they're unfaithful to their wedding vows, which means they've gone out with another person. They've hooked up elsewhere. And that's important, too. You want to be faithful to your wedding. I shouldn't be having to even tell you that this up here, but that's what we think of when we think of unfaithfulness. But there's other opposites. You can be negligent in your duties. You can just be plain undependable. People know that, oh, I can't depend on her. I'm not going to ask her to do whatever because she's just undependable. Or disloyal. It could be in your marriage, or disloyal to your spouse or your kids, but it's also like in your job. You're disloyal to your boss, to whatever, wherever you work. All of these traits are very bad. We don't want any of those to be characteristics of ourselves. But we all know people who are like that. And this is not just a black and white thing, almost, because there's some people who will do some things, but they won't do others. You know what I'm saying? They're dependable, maybe, in some phases of their life, but not dependable always. But we need to always be faithful because God is always faithful. You know, when you think of the story of the Bible from Old Testament to New Testament, what it just reeks of is God's faithfulness. God is always faithful in everything He promised or His covenants. You think of the Old Testament, and God was so faithful to the land of Israel, even though they were very unfaithful to Him. They were like an adulterous wife to Him. They disobeyed all the time, and yet steadfastly, He was faithful. It was always faithful. That's almost, to me, that's the whole story of the Old Testament. So I didn't look in the Old Testament for verses, but just to let you know that God is still faithful. Even in the New Testament, we have a lot of examples of that. First of all, He's faithful for the forgiveness of our sins. And I know most of you probably have memorized 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, that's on us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, I forgot to say, I should tell you, all the verses on my notes are in ESV. They're not ESV, but it's okay. It's okay. But God is faithful. We know even now when we sin, He is going to forgive if we confess to Him. He's faithful. But He was faithful way back the very first time we confessed, when we became a Christian, to forgive us all of our sins. So He's faithful for our salvation. That's the next thing. God is, oh, this is 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, through whom, God, you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's when you became saved, when you were called into fellowship. And God is faithful. He's always been. He always will be. Can't emphasize that enough. He is faithful for the deliverance, for our deliverance from temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above, beyond what you are able. So many times we think, oh, this is just terrible, what I'm going through right now. I just don't know how I can do it. I just can't. I can't. You can. God tells you He will never let you be tempted beyond what you're able. You may be able to take more than you think you can take. You know, we're each different. We each have a different level of what we can stand, if you will, or allow to happen to us. But God knows that what that is. And He is very faithful to not give you more on your plate, or more when you keep thinking the waves keep crashing, they keep coming. No, He's not going to let more than you can handle. And you can count on that because your God is faithful. He's faithful for our ultimate sanctification. This is where we'll see Him face to face. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. This is the end of that book, 1 Thessalonians, and it had been just talking about our sanctification, our ultimate sanctification, when we see the Lord Jesus, and it says, "Faithful is He who calls you, and He also will bring it to pass." He's going to do what He said He's going to do. No other way to put it. It's black and white. It's in our Bibles in black and white. It should be in our hearts in black and white. Faithful is He. He's going to do what He said He was going to do. And finally, He's faithful for the fulfillment of our hope of eternal life. Hebrews 10:13, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. God is ultimately faithful. It should be one of His names. Maybe it is. I don't know. But faithfulness is such a characteristic of God. This is a characteristic that we, as ladies, every Christian really should have. So let's do the same thing. Let's go to prayer or just thinking about it with your eyes closed. Basically, we're thinking about how faithful am I? Number one, am I utterly dependable? When I tell someone that I'm going to do something, do I really do it? Do I do it in the timely manner in which I told them I would do it? Or do I sort of put it out of my mind and then forget it and never get to it? And when they ask, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. That's not being dependable. A faithful person is dependable. Am I absolutely honest in my dealings with others? Absolutely. Do I do what I say I will do? Better not to say anything than to say something and then not follow through. Do I display unswerving loyalty to others, to my family, to my friends, to my job, to my church? Can others always count on me? Am I known as a person who can be always counted on? Father, one day we're going to draw our final breath on this earth and stand before you. May we all hear you say to us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Amen.